Blog Talk Radio.
Was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and it's good to be here. Just one more time to be able to get into what is called the perfect law of liberty, and that is none other than the Word of the Lord. And we thank God we're able to be here just one more time to say and to seek ye out of the book of the law, as the prophet Isaiah says. So no one can match our God. And thank God that the same God that was in the beginning, as Moses had the revelation of in the beginning God, is the same God that we're talking about in St. John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And thank God there was only one witness on the testimony. In the beginning, God is a divine testimony. There was only one witness on the stand, and that was the Lord himself. We thank God for that. He is the creator of the ends of the earth. As the prophet Isaiah says, he fainted not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, to them that had no might. Might he increase his strength. Writer goes on to say, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That is, we're talking about those that wait on the Lord. And so you're waiting, you're serving. So what a blessing it is to know, as the writer in Proverbs says, get wisdom and get understanding. And he was saying, all thy getting, get understanding. So understanding is your life. You got to take hold of her, as it is called in the female agenda. She is your life, you know, strength and honor. You're going to find, and long days are you going to find when you get understanding. So there's nothing like getting understanding from the Word of God. So we thank God that we're able to do just that. We can't argue with what thus saith the Lord. We know that the Bible is the truth when it is rightly divided. So that's what we're here for. To promote the truth. And it matters not who you are. So no one is bigger than God. No one has given them their life for us but the Father himself, which is the Lord, that took on a human body, knowing that the divine essence of God is spirit, but he took on a body and it came as the Son of God. And the Jews knew that. That's why you're saying, you say you're the Son of God. They know that he was making himself equal with God to make a statement like that. That is the Lord himself. So thank God. God didn't have to stop being God to become the Son of God. He can be whatever he wants to be and never cease to be what he is. He's everywhere, here, now, there, God. He can leave you, come to you, ain't going nowhere. He's everywhere and every place. His eyes run to and fro the writer says, throughout the whole earth, beholding the good and the evil, and also looking for who those that have a perfect heart toward him. That is a mature heart. So we thank God for that. We've been going through Paul's letters to the church, knowing that he is the apostle to the Gentiles. And so we've been going through, and we had started off initially over better than a year and a half ago, talking about the Godhead, and then from there we did for a few weeks, and then we went on and walked through the Acts of the Apostles. And we know that's how you get saved is in the book of Acts. And we know the end of the law is in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when Jesus himself was on the scene. But the fulfillment of that, Christ is the fulfillment of the law. Just like it says, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So after he died, he was buried, he rose again the third day from the scriptures, sent back the Holy Ghost, gave us instructions. And that is, when I say the us, those that are in the church, those that are first believers, Peter, James, and John, and all the other apostles. We know that it was some years later before the Lord chose the Apostle Paul to come on the scene. And so they got instructions to go back to the city of Jerusalem and wait until they be endued with power from on high. And that's the earnest. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is the earnest of our inheritance. Gave them instructions on how to be born again. So there's no big I's, no little U's in the church of the living God nowadays. But we all got to do what he says if we want to make it and be forever with the Lord, knowing that we all are body, soul, and spirit. And he is coming to redeem our soul from the power of the grave, save us. That's why he died and gave his life, to save us from our sins, to save us ultimately from the devil's hell, and ultimately even more so than from the lake of fire, knowing that hell was made for the devil and his angels. That's in Matthew 25 and 41. So, and then death and hell, as we read in the book of the Revelation, is going to be cast into the lake of fire, and the beast and the false prophet are going to beat the devil there, and going to be tormented day and night forever and ever. And whosoever's name is not written in the book of life is going to be cast into the lake of fire. So people always make the statement, hell yeah, hell yes. And I used to tell those that I ministered to in the prison system that nobody wants to go to hell. People make statements. Nobody in their right mind would even make a statement like that to say hell yes, because they don't even know what they are saying. So that's what we're here for, to give truth to what the Word of God says. Knowing that you look at the TV, there are many religious stations on the satellite networks and cable networks, and we knowing that you got folks on there that are hustling people out of their money. And that's what's going on even in the world today. That's what's going on in Washington, D.C. That's what's going on Wall Street. That's why these folks don't want to pay taxes on their fair share, because just like Jesus himself said, that you cannot serve God and mammon. And he was saying you either hate one and cleave to the other, you hold to one and despise the other. And he said you cannot serve God and mammon. And mammon is money. And some people think that they have it made for generations to come because they have millions and billions. But there's going to come a time when your money is not going to mean anything in the new world order, in the new world system, when the monetary gets changed to whatever one is, the euro or the amero, and your money is going to end up being nothing. And we're looking at people now talking about gold. Gold is $1,700 an ounce, highest it has ever been in history. And Peter says, talking to the people of God, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes. It might be found to praise, glory, and honor at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom in you love, and though you see him not, yet rejoicing with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your salvation, even the salvation of your soul. And he goes on to say, which salvation the prophets have searched diligently about the grace that is to come unto you. So we know that this was not something that was made up, but you can, the apostles, they didn't preach out of the gospel because they were the ones who wrote the gospels, but they preached Jesus out of the Psalms. They preached him out of the law. They preached him out of the Psalms and the law and also the prophets. So that's what's so important. This is not something that was made up. Like the song says, beautiful story of Jesus. I tell it everywhere I go. And so they go on, the writer goes on to say of that song, but oh, it's not just a story. So we really thank God for the opportunity to be able to get into the Word of God. So there's nothing like the Word of God, and there's nothing like bringing clarity to the Word of God. And you're talking about a vision. Scripture says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Mm-hmm. So he's talking about a place of a vision. Some people used to pick it up and say, without a vision, the people perish. He never said that. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. So thank God we know that what a vision is. Amen. So this is not something that we made up, but it's none other than the engrafted Word of God, as James, the brother of our Lord, says, which is able to save your souls. And that is what we need. So we thank God that we have been in the book of 2 Corinthians, and I believe we may have left off in the 8th chapter of 2 Corinthians and the 16th verse. I'm not positive, but today, what we are endeavoring to talk about, and that is our subject on today, our collection for the poor and also giving. So what we've been, our tags are giving, willing, poor, ministering, and cheerful. So this all ties together what the Apostle Paul was talking about, because even when we get on, he's letting us know how we got to keep ourselves in the 7th chapter. Then he starts off with the collection for the poor in the 8th chapter, and he'll go on even farther, telling us how we should give in the 9th chapter, and he lets you know what kind of spirit and the way that he carries himself in the 10th chapter of 2 Corinthians. So we thank God for that. And also on today, we thank God that we have our historian is also with us on today. Say, we haven't been with you, I think, in 2 weeks, so we thank God that we're here, and I'll let him give his testimony, and I'm glad to see that he was able to be here on today. And so we'll take it from there, and we'll give it into the hands of our historian in the person of Elder Ryan Fountain.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord to Elder Cannon.
Yeah.
It has been 2 weeks?
Yes.
It's been 2 weeks since we've been on the air last. We took off those 2 weeks because the PAW convention was going on, and we traveled to Orlando, Florida. We got delayed a little bit in going, but we did make it. We had a blessed time, blessed fellowship with brethren from all over the country, all over the world, and we truly enjoyed ourselves and enjoyed the ministry that went forth down in Orlando. We, as Elder Cannon said, we are in the book of 2 Corinthians. I know last time we went through the 7th chapter, and in there he talks about the fruits of repentance. And then he goes into the 8th chapter and talking about giving unto the poor. I have to jog my memory a little bit. We ended up in,
I think it's where we
16th
ended up.
Verse?
I believe
okay.
So. Mm-hmm.
So we can just pick it up from there. It says, but thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed he accepted the exhortation or the encouragement or the desire or verbal backing from the brethren, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind. Avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us, providing for honest things not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. So I believe this was talking about Titus being sent unto them, and he also sent another brother unto them. In this passage, that the brother is not named, but he was with them and appointed to travel with Paul, and he's now traveling with Titus unto the Corinthians. And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you. That's one thing about a Christian that we need to really latch on to, is that we have to have diligence in all that we do. We have to be diligent in our lifestyle. We have to be diligent in our study of the scriptures. We have to be diligent in all things.
Yeah.
Because without diligence, you get laziness, you get undue cockiness, you get a lot of things when you're not diligent or focused or well on track to your destination. If you're not focused on your destination, and that destination is the higher calling of Christ, whereby he called us, and Paul talks about that in the book of Philippians, the third chapter, that higher mark that we're trying to reach, if you're not diligent and focused and concentrating on how to get there the best way possible, and the best way possible is through the power of the Holy Ghost guiding you and giving you guidance in what you do. If you don't have that diligence, if you don't have that that drive in you, you certainly will not make it, or surely will not make it easier for yourself, because this is a hard thing. And to be diligent or to be focused, I'm losing my words of what diligent means.
Yeah.
But if you are hard working in what you do, it pays off for you in the long run.
Yeah.
And it makes things easier for you in the long run.
Right. You got to be consistent.
If you are diligent in prayer when you are a young man, when you become old, it becomes a second nature to you. And the things that you do now will help you as you get older or further along in Christ.
Yeah.
So that's why we have to be diligent. So he says that he has to be much more diligent. So he was already diligent, but there gets to a point in your saved life or in your walk with Christ that you have to become more diligent, because you have more responsibility, you have more things to be aware of. Amen? So you have to be diligent, and at a certain point you get much more diligent, and after that you get even more diligent, because you have a greater responsibility, greater things to worry about. Amen?
Yeah.
Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you, or our brethren be inquired of, they are the messengers of the churches and the glory of God. So what he was really vouching for Titus at this point. He was telling them that Titus was a man of good report, that he was coming unto them, and that indeed whatever Titus was teaching was that which the Apostle Paul taught Titus.
Yeah.
And Titus was just carrying on the same message that Paul taught to him. Let's turn to, is that 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter? We talked about
when he fought a good fight, when he's finishing up.
No, he talks about
committing to faithful men.
Committing to faithful men. Is that
shall be able to teach others? Yes, in
I believe that's 2 Timothy.
2 Timothy.
The third. Yeah. No, is it the 4th chapter? Commit unto faithful men.
Yeah.
He tells Timothy to commit unto faithful men. In the 2nd chapter.
Mm-hmm.
2nd chapter, the first verse, it says, "Thou therefore, my son," this is Paul talking to Timothy,
mm-hmm.
"be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me." So Timothy sat directly under Paul. Paul actually found him during his second missionary journey, and Timothy followed along with him. He was one of, you could say, his closest students to Paul. Amen. There was a small group of them. You could put Timothy in that group. You could put Silas in that group. You could put Titus in that group. They were all very close to Paul and all very diligent in hearing what Paul had to say. They were always there, and they were learning directly of Paul, just as Paul learned directly of Christ. And it says, "the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses." So Paul didn't just privately tell them something. No scriptures of them, private interpretation. So whatever Paul told to them, he told to the others also.
Yeah.
But he also gave more revelation unto them because people are at different levels within the faith. Amen? So some people could only handle the milk of the word or the basic structures of the doctrine, whereas a more seasoned minister can handle meatier things, amen,
yeah.
or deeper things that have to do with God. But Paul did not teach these things in private. He taught them among many different witnesses.
Yeah.
And the same commit thou unto faithful men. So his charge to them was, everything that I taught to you, teach to another generation.
Yeah.
And everything that that generation has learned from you, they should be able to teach others also. So this is talking about four generations in this one scripture. And this teaching was to carry on from, it first started out with the Lord. We learned that in the book of Hebrews, the 2nd chapter, and it was taught unto the apostles, them that heard him.
Mm-hmm.
And then them that heard him were the apostles. They taught to their students, and those students were teaching to those students, and so on and so forth, until we get into this day where we have people that are learning of the apostles' teaching by the scriptures, but you have to have a man to guide you through the scriptures.
Yeah.
The Ethiopian eunuch was riding through the desert reading out of the book of Isaiah, and Philip came running up to him and asking him, "Dost thou understand this what thou readest?" And he says, "How can I except some man should guide me?"
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have guidance by a man, not just any man, but a man that is full of the Holy Ghost and has the revelation of God himself. Amen?
Yeah.
So you have to find yourself a man of God, a man that has been ordained by God, a man that has been called of God, a man that has been sent by God, and you have to learn the scriptures from him.
Yeah.
And after that, you are to learn the scriptures, or learn the scriptures and then teach others also. This is all talking about the ministry right now.
Yeah.
But if you want to look in, this is talking about the distinct group that is known as the ministry. There are four branches of ministry in the New Testament church. That is apostles, prophets, evangelists. And then if you read carefully in there, it says pastors and teachers. There's no semicolon to separate pastors from teachers.
Right.
Your pastor should be your main teacher of these scriptures. Amen.
Yeah. In the local church.
In your local body, local assembly. Amen.
Yeah.
So, that is a distinct ministry, but the entire body of Christ are called to be ministers. Amen. We are called to be witnesses for the gospel of Christ. So everybody should have some level of ministry in them,
yeah,
inbred in them. Amen. You may not be a called minister as a preacher or a teacher of some sort, but you should have some sense of ministry in you, because you have, essentially, you have the minister inside of you,
yeah,
the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
He's the one that ministers unto you so you can minister unto others. So we have to have, we have to learn the scriptures from other men. And I believe it's in 1 John where it says that no man shall teach you anything.
Yeah.
That's talking about an unregenerated man. That's,
yeah,
talking about a man that is not full of the Holy Ghost. That is talking about a man that is of the world.
Yeah.
That is the subject, really, of that book, is the distinction between the body of Christ and those of the world. That is a great distinction that he is making throughout that entire epistle,
yeah,
that we should separate ourselves and have a distinction between us and the world.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the second chapter?
Yeah, second John.
Mm-hmm. First John, the
first
second
John,
chapter.
First John, the second chapter.
Mm-hmm. 25th
verse.
25th.
The promise.
And this is the promise that he has promised unto us, even eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you.
Mm-hmm.
But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath been taught you, ye shall abide in him.
Mm-hmm.
So people misconstrue that or confuse that scripture and say that the anointing will teach you all things. But that is not what that scripture is saying. The anointing that's going to teach you is the anointing that is in another man, because,
yeah,
he has learned the scriptures from another anointed man.
Yeah.
The anointing is passed on through anointed men. Amen?
Amen.
But you only can be anointed if you have the Holy Ghost in you. You have to have the Holy Ghost, and that's how you get taught. So you cannot have people are just not going to get revelations out of the blue. Amen?
Yeah.
You have to be taught revelation.
Yeah.
90% of your revelations come from other ministers. Amen?
Amen.
Only roughly around 10% of all revelation that you will receive throughout your lifetime will come directly from the Holy Ghost. And he'll still show it through the scriptures.
Yeah.
And you have to have right division of the scriptures, scripture upon scripture, line upon line, here a little and there a little. You have to be able to balance out this book and be able to teach whatever revelation that God has given unto you. If you don't teach it out of the book, it's not a revelation given by God.
That's right.
It's definitely a what we call a devilation or a revolution given by the devil. Amen?
Yeah.
So we have to be in the scriptures. Amen? You have to stay in the scriptures. You have to be taught the scriptures. You have to be diligent in the scriptures, because these scriptures are where life lies. Amen? Where life is.
Yeah.
There's no lie in the scriptures. People can twist the scriptures to turn them into lies. They can actually turn the truth into a lie by just adding one little word or taking out one little word. Because when Eve was in the garden speaking unto the serpent added one word unto what God said. He added one little word, "Thou shalt not surely die." All he had was that that not. That's all he added was a three-letter word, and it changed the entire meaning of what God was saying.
Yeah.
He said, if you eat of that tree, thou wilt surely die. But then the serpent turned that around and said that thou wilt not surely die. That is the basis of all false doctrine, adding unto the word of God and changing what God is telling the church or telling his body of people. Amen? So we have to be diligent and know these scriptures and know right division and know we have to have all the scriptures line up, because if all the scriptures don't line up, we don't have truth. Because everything that was in this word was inspired by God. And if something does not line up in this word, it means that God did not inspire it, and it means that this book is really worthless.
Yeah.
It's just over 1,000 pages of just words. But this is not what we believe. We believe that this is indeed the word of God, inspired by God, or God inspired godly men to write every word in this book. And we can take these words in this book and clearly show what God's mind is for the human race. Amen?
Amen.
So we have to be diligent in this. Amen? And we have to be taught. So moving on, it says in the 24th verse, it says, wherefore show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. So he was telling them how good Titus was. He had already told Titus how great they were. He boasted of them because this was one of Paul's, and I keep saying this is one of Paul's favorite churches. This is birthed directly out of his ministry. They were very gifted, but they were out of order with their gifts.
Yeah.
So as we move on into the 9th chapter, it says, for as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, and that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal had provoked many. So the Corinthians were in Achaia, in the region Achaia. Macedonia was the region where Philippi and such were. So he was telling them that they were ready a year ago. They were all the learning and all the gifts and all the anointing was just naturally into this church. He had to do a whole lot more teaching unto Macedonia, and they didn't catch on as fast as they did in Corinth. Amen.
Yeah, right.
Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, ye may be ready. Lest haply, if they of Macedonia come with me, and find you unprepared, we say not, ye should be ashamed in this same confidence boasting. So, really, what Paul was saying was, I did a lot of talking about you, and I said a lot of good things about you, but if I happen to bring some brethren down from Macedonia unto you, and you showed the unpreparedness or you showed the immaturity that I talked about in the first letter that I wrote unto you,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to be ashamed because I did a lot of talking. I'm going to be even more ashamed than you should be.
Right.
So,
and there's times we should be ashamed. You know, one of our late bishops said, like the scripture says in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God,
mm-hmm.
a workman that needeth not be ashamed,
not
rightly
be ashamed.
Dividing the word of truth.
So we should not be ashamed of what we are doing. But The only way we're not going to be ashamed of what we're doing is if what we're doing is right.
Yes.
And if what we're doing is according to the will of God. But if we are outside of that will, we should be ashamed of ourselves.
Yes.
Because we're not doing what God wants us to do. Because that should be the only person that you're, or only being that you're looking to indeed impress is God.
Yes.
You should be working your gifts. You should be working your anointing in order to glorify God. Amen.
Amen.
That was one purpose of mankind, was to give God his glory.
Yeah.
And if we don't give God his glory, we should be indeed ashamed.
Right.
Amen.
And then that the scripture will come to pass that says, and Proverbs says, a man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men.
Yeah.
So people will see what you have in you. So
yeah.
That's why Apostle Paul could talk about these men as he did, because he knew what they had in him, and vice versa.
Amen.
They knew what a great man that they were.
Amen.
Sitting under.
So he says, therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty, but and not as of covetousness. But I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. So we have to be able to give,
yeah,
of ourselves.
Yeah.
And give of our substance. Amen.
Yeah.
We should be able to give in all things. And we know this is an age-old idea, that he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he,
yeah,
that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully.
Right.
If you only give a little, you're only going to get a little.
Right.
But if you give a whole lot, you're going to get a whole lot back.
Right.
And this is not only talking about money, but this is talking about sacrifice of yourself. This is,
yeah,
talking about love. This is talking about many. You can apply this to anything in your life.
Yeah.
If you only give a little, you're only going to get a little. But if you give a lot, you're going to give a lot.
Right.
And it even goes towards evil things. If you give a lot of discord,
mm-hmm,
you're going to get a lot of discord back in your life.
Right.
If you do a lot of evil things unto other people, a lot of evil things are going to come back unto you.
Yes.
So we have to understand that principle in all that we do, that whatever we give, we are going to get back.
Yeah.
In some form or fashion.
Right. And Apostle Paul really understood that. That's why he wrote to the church of Galatia,
mm-hmm,
in the 6th chapter. He said, be not deceived. God is not mocked.
Mm-hmm.
Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And we know that his life in times past, how he persecuted the church of God and he wasted it. So when the Lord got converted on the road to Damascus, he got baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, they didn't believe that he was the disciple. They had to let him out of town. But everywhere he went, they were after him.
Yeah.
Because he persecuted the church.
So he received much persecution from everywhere he went.
Yes. So he was an eyewitness.
Yes.
Of what reaping and sowing were,
yeah,
in every aspect.
And that is a principle that we all have to carry with us, that whatever we sow, we're going to reap. So whatever evil thing that you may think to do unto another person, whether it be a brother or whether it be a stranger,
mm-hmm,
you should think about what you're doing, because you're going to reap that in the end.
Yes.
And contrawise, you should also think about whatever good thing you do unto your brethren, or whatever good thing you do unto a stranger, because you never know who that stranger is, or what that brother may have for you
mm-hmm.
in weeks or years or decades beyond that point. You never know. And you should be able to sow cheerfully. That, and I think that's a very key word.
Yeah.
That God loves a cheerful giver.
Mm-hmm.
That you're not giving grudgingly.
Right.
Out of your substance, it may hurt at some point, but if you just give it cheerfully, you're going to get it back.
Yeah.
And it's going to come back cheerfully unto you.
Right.
Amen.
And it could be a beggar on the street. Ain't no sense in you could give it and it don't even hurt you. And then browbeating him, yeah, you shouldn't be out here, but I'm going to help you out. No, help him out and don't say nothing.
Yeah, if you're going to help
wrong
him
out.
Too. If you're going to help him out, just help him.
You don't want to be beat up, too. He's already feel bad enough.
Amen.
And he got to beg. I mean, that's a principle, like Apostle Paul said. He said, remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive.
Amen.
So, we don't think of that. Well, we think of it as a child, selfishly. Give me, give me, give me. But when you mature and grow into an adult and mature, you think like, which position would you rather be in, the giving or the receiving?
Yes.
I'd rather have abundantly where I can give instead of I'm broken begging.
Yes.
To make it,
amen.
For lack of a better word.
Amen. And I think we should... Every child of God should strive in order to be in a position to give.
Yes.
Because not all of us are in a position to give.
Right.
Some people have to receive, and they do it out of necessity, because if not, they'll surely perish.
Mm-hmm.
But we should all strive to be able to give, and I think that a lot more people will be blessed. We shouldn't be... walking around looking for blessings. Blessings should just follow after us.
Yeah,
amen.
Yeah.
I know that it's a popular movement in this day and age where people go to different places looking for blessings from different preachers or prophets or whatever they may be. They're looking for blessings. They're looking for different things to happen in their life. But those things should follow after you.
Exactly.
Signs should follow after you. You shouldn't be following after signs.
Right. And I'm so sick of people lying. This same man, the $1,000 man, the $130 man, was on TV talking about Gideon,
mm-hmm.
the 300, and using the book of Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, which is Israel's blessings. I'm tired of that lie. If God's going to bless me, and I'm hurting, I ain't got no $130 to send to some man on the air talking about he's the financial... spiritual man, why I gotta pay $130 for a blessing. That is a lie out of hell. And in first place, he's not rightly dividing the scriptures to
Amen.
Tell that lie. And I just saw him again the other day on TV.
Amen.
That
is
a lie.
And while we're on the subject,
yeah.
I believe it.
And that's what we came to do, to tell the truth. There's a show used to come on years ago, To Tell the Truth, and they would have three people. My name is so-and-so. Everybody would have the same name. And at the end, they would have the person... They would say, "Will the real John Doe please stand up?" And the people, the other two would be done lied and went on to have you to believe that they were that real person. And some folks would be fooled. And so that's how it is right now. The truth, we're here to tell you the truth. And the truth is going to stand. And the truth is going to live. And the truth is going to abide forever. And we know the truth is in Jesus, as the Apostle Paul said. So I come to smash that. I don't care. I made up my mind. I'm going to say what's right. Because too many people, that's why so many, some folks, they're going to receive the greater damnation for lying to people.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to end the lake of fire for lying to folks about money.
Amen.
You ain't got to pay for it. You can't pay for a blessing. You can't bribe God. You can't pay for a blessing. That is a lie out of hell.
Amen. And
I'm mad about it. That gets me. But you don't hustle people.
You shouldn't. And that is not the purpose of the Word of God.
No.
Is to try to hustle people and try to get their money out of them. We are talking about spiritual blessings.
Yes.
We're talking about soulless blessings.
Yes.
Amen.
And not only that, we know we got to have money. The Bible says money answereth all things.
Amen.
You've got to have money to live.
Amen.
And if somebody gave me $1 million right today, I'm not turning it down. There's people, God got folks that's got money. You know, the cattle on 1,000 hills is his, and the hills, the earth, everything. But God also got somebody that got the money.
Amen.
And there's people out there that are rich people that are not stingy. Even Warren Buffett spoke out about this foolishness, about the United States of America losing our AAA credit rating down to a AA+. I mean, how stupid is that? And your own folks that are downgrading you.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's too much greed going on, and it's crept over into the so-called church, and that's what we come to dispel. We don't tell you the truth about the poor and giving and ministering and faithfulness and all in people.
And you have to understand the purpose of an Old Testament prophet and the difference between an Old
yes.
Testament prophet and a New Testament prophet. God spoke in times past
yes.
by the prophets.
Right.
But now in these last days, he speaks unto us
by his son.
By his dear son. Amen.
Yes.
So we have to understand that he revealed his mind unto the prophets, but he only revealed a portion of his mind unto the prophets. He only
yes.
revealed unto them a little bit. And then they only were revealed at the time that the Holy Ghost would come upon them.
Yes.
But then after the Holy Ghost would come up off of them, they had to study and search out the things which were revealed unto them. Amen?
Yes, and this is what I was saying early when I first came on. He goes on to Peter, 1 Peter, the first chapter, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls,
mm-hmm.
of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. And they went on searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not only unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them which have preached the Holy Ghost,
mm-hmm.
preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. So this is what Elder Fountain just having
yes.
reference to.
So the prophets in times past, in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would come upon them
yes.
and show them a portion or show them mysteries.
Yeah.
That went far beyond them.
Yeah.
Either through, you have to understand, prophecy is talking about past, present, or future.
Yeah.
So they had to understand where he was prophesying them to, where he was taking their vision to.
Yeah.
Amen. He showed Daniel the things that were to come unto his people. Amen. That
yeah.
was Daniel's inquiry.
Yeah.
He wanted to see what the results of his people were going to be. Amen?
Yeah.
So he didn't show Daniel the church age. He showed him the end or the tribulation of the Jews. Amen? So we have to understand that the way that God revealed himself or the way that God prophesied of himself in the Old Testament isn't the way that he's prophesying himself or revealing himself unto us in the New Testament.
Right, that ministry of the prophets is gone.
It's gone, because Jesus Christ had not yet come, but Jesus Christ is come now and revealed himself as the Messiah, amen?
Amen.
So now we should be looking towards him. We shouldn't be looking towards the prophet, amen?
That's
we
right.
shouldn't be looking towards some man speaking in tongues and prophesying over us, amen?
Right.
That's not what we should be looking for. We should be looking for him. We should be looking for truth in this word.
Yes.
This is the spirit of prophecy in the book. Amen?
Right. And there's no such thing nowadays as the master prophet. All this foolishness, this is what Jesus spoke of, should come. Ain't no master prophet. That is a lie out of
here. Amen. And I was watching the master prophet on TV the other night, and he was speaking of things that were concerning the prophets, and everything he said was true.
Yes.
But it's not present truth.
Exactly.
He brought all those scriptures out of the Old Testament
yes.
and applying it to himself.
Yes.
But that's not the way that the ministry is ordered. We already talked about how the ministry was ordered. It's apostles. The apostles' day was, the apostles' purpose in this earth was to establish the churches, established doctrine to write the New Testament scripture.
Yes.
Amen. And if you did not write a New Testament scripture, if you were not around during that period, you can't rightly call yourself an apostle. I'm
right.
sorry.
There were eyewitnesses. And they suffered horrible deaths.
Amen.
All these folks keep talking about their apostles. Then when you look at a group of apostles in the church, in the book of the Revelation, said they've been, they said they were apostles, and they've been found liars.
Amen.
That's what the Lord himself
because
said.
Because apostle has to try an apostle.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
So the apostles and the prophets were to establish the foundation
yes.
of the church. Amen.
Yes.
And the prophets in the New Testament, that second branch of ministry, was indeed to interpret the prophecies
yes.
that were laid out in the Old Testament. Amen?
Yes.
That is the difference between an Old Testament prophet and a New Testament prophet. That is one main difference, is that they had to interpret the prophecies. Amen?
Yes.
Because the prophet should try a prophet. Amen?
Yes.
And so they should search out those scriptures that all those prophets wrote in times past and be able to rightly divide those prophecies and show what prophecies were concerning the church, what prophecies were concerning Israel, what prophecies were concerning the world.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes, sir.
And you have to know that. And the main prophet in the church today is the pastor. Amen?
Yes.
The pastor takes on all those roles, really. He takes on the role of an evangelist. He takes on the role of an apostle because he establishes the word in the church.
Yes.
And he takes on the role of the prophet because he interprets prophecy for the people.
Yes. And this is what if those of you that follow us, if you remember back in the Acts of the Apostles, we were going through Apostle Paul, who is the writer of this, founder of the church at Corinth, and also he gave his testimony in the 9th chapter, the 22nd chapter, and the 26th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles when he was with Luke and other company, Barnabas and all, and he was saying that he said none other things than those about Moses said about Christ, that he should come. So that's what, even nowadays, the prophet in the church, which is the pastor in the local assembly, he's talking about Jesus Christ, not himself.
Amen.
He's talking about the Lord. He knows the order of God, and he's promoting the order of God. He's not promoting himself. He's not telling you got to be connected to him. He's telling you better be standing on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. So it's not about none of us, but it's about Jesus. He better be he's the center of attraction. He is the message that we better be preaching.
Amen. So we have to know the difference between truth and a
present
lie.
Truth.
Amen.
Yes.
We have to know present truth.
Yes.
Because a past truth isn't truth in this day.
Right.
It is no longer applicable.
Exactly.
And also, a future truth is not applicable in this day. There's times where the future truth will be relevant, amen?
Yes.
But it's not relevant right now.
Right. And that's what Peter was saying, that he when he wrote the second letter, I believe, and he was telling the people that he wanted them to be established in the present truth. And he was saying, even during that time when he was living, because he was saying the Lord has showed him what death he should die.
Yes.
And he wanted them to be established before he left him.
Amen. And we have to be in present truth. The things that happened in the past, we can't apply those to our lives anymore. Amen.
Amen.
And rightly, after the rapture of the church, you won't be able to apply baptism in Jesus'
right.
name and trying to get filled with the Holy Ghost anymore. Because it's not going to save you in that day after the church is gone.
Yes.
There's going to be another mode of salvation. You're going to have to get your head cut off. Amen?
Yes.
So we have to understand present truth. Amen?
Yes.
We have to be established in present truth.
And I can guarantee every one of you listeners now, these lying false prophets, if they don't get right, they will be here after the rapture of the church. And they ain't going to know what to tell you, because they're going to see that they missed it. See, God is not going to be mocked. Just like that man, whatever date that was, said that the rapture is going to take place. I mean, never saw such. Folks on Channel 7 and other ABC news stations and all laughing, like, because they know this man, he had he missed it. No, if you're a real man of God, you're not going to miss it.
Amen.
And he missed it all right, Because Jesus said, no man knoweth the day nor the hour when the Son of Man is
going to
come.
And you know, Elder Cannon, I believe that they're going to be under such strong delusion that they're not even going to realize that the time has passed.
Yes.
And that they messed up. There's going to be some people that are under such strong delusion of what they're doing is right, they're not even going to realize that the time of the church has passed, and they're going to keep on going as they are having church.
Continue
to having quote-unquote church.
Right. So you just hope where you don't want to be at as a child of God, as a person that's not a believer, that having came on and been born again, baptized, repented of your sins, and been baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, you don't want your driver or the pilot of your plane to be a born-again believer. When the rapture takes church, he ain't going to be in control of that plane.
Amen.
So you don't want to be, you better be in the, like they say, are you in the church triumphant? Are you in the Savior's bride?
Amen.
Song goes on to say, have you been baptized into the body and forever thereby? Because you want to be gone. Because you're going to be in trouble. Woe to the world when the Lord comes.
Amen. So
you think they got trouble right now in D.C. and this world economy and all this stuff and Wall Street. You ain't seen nothing yet.
When
they realize that God going to destroy their money, which is their God, they going to curse God to his face. It's in the book of Revelation. Because they made money their God.
And when all of the judgments are coming down upon them, when all the vials are pouring out, they're going to actually lift up their fists and curse God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So let's try to finish out the ninth chapter really quickly, and then we'll pick up in the tenth chapter next week. It says, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift.
Yeah.
So we have to know that whatever we give unto the body of Christ will benefit the body of Christ.
Yeah.
And God has given it unto you so that you may benefit the body of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
There are some saints that are more blessed with earthly substance than other saints.
Yeah.
Amen. And it's not so that we can hoard our money or that we can take all of our possessions and hold them unto ourselves. Amen.
Right.
But it is that no saint should want in this earth.
Exactly.
That no saint should be indeed begging for bread in this earth, but that we filled with substance, and that we all may be filled with joy and peace
in
our lives.
Our needs to be met.
Amen.
Yes.
So on that note, we will close, and we will pick up next week in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and we only have a couple more chapters after that. Amen.
Yes. Amen. So, amen. So thank God for the word of God.
Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. We hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. God bless.